Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm ready to learn today. Are you ready to teach us all and answer some questions?
Well, I'll try. I don't know about that, but you know, how about this? I'll provide some information, and we just had a monsoon over here, which actually kept me in my office today as opposed to coming in. It was just pouring.
Okay, that's good.
But we'll be all right doing this remotely, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, technology helps us in these moments where safety is more important, and we don't need anybody. Yeah. We already have a lot of people on the road. Spring breakers are here. We've got people traveling in to visit family. And it's a lot of road activity. And I see that the sun was out for just a second off and on, but now it looks like it's just going to be muggy and rainy. So we need everybody to be safe on the road. So one less person. And Bob, you took one for the team. I appreciate that.
That's right. I did. I took one for the team. But anyway, so we've got a fascinating topic today, Jenna.
Tell me, what is it?
We're going to be talking about estate planning, okay, the essential legal documents. We've done this before. I think it's probably been about a year, but this is always a great topic to revisit. And, you know, as you get on in age, or even early in life, but especially when you get on in age, you start directing your attention more to how I'm going to transfer this wealth, mm-hmm. how I'm going to leave this legacy to my loved ones or the causes I believe in, and what's really important is who am I going to place in charge of this?
Right.
And So we're talking about estate planning today, and you know, we want to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, we are not a law firm. We're not dispensing legal advice. Wills, trusts, estate planning documents need to be drafted by your attorney, and of course, we work with many wonderful estate planning attorneys here in town, and we can direct you to an estate planning attorney. But we're also able to identify the issues and talk about these topics and certainly talk all around them. However, when it comes down to dispensing legal advice and drafting the documents, that's where we bow out, right?
Right.
But for our listeners, if you have any questions during the course of this this segment, please feel free to call us. We can be reached at 850-437-3127. And during the show, you can call 850-437-1620 to ask any questions. But certainly the first number, call for an appointment if you need to discuss any of the topics or any investment issues, and you can schedule an appointment with Annalie and I, and we'll go over things with you. But for today, 437-1620, area code, of course, 850, if you have any questions, comments, or want to share a story with us. All right, we're going to kick it off by talking about the most important legal document. And Jenna, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think that is?
Your will?
Your will.
Oh, my
Good
goodness.
Job.
Oh,
Good
did I
job.
Win something?
Your last will and testament. And, you know, the last will and testament is very important. And we've shared this. We've shared this on the show. We share this with clients. It's very funny. And we all do this. We say, so if I die, this will happen. If I die, this is where my assets are going. If I die, this person is going to be in charge. Mm-hmm. No, it's when you die, this is going to happen. So we all are going to die, and we all, what a way to kick off the
this
show,
is,
right?
This is Talking so about peppy, dying. But, Bob.
Yeah, well, yeah, we go from Mike and talking about flowers and, you know, just
speaking of flowers,
oh gosh,
you'll need those when
yeah,
you die.
Yeah, flowers go. That's right. Yes. Very good. I thought about that at the same time. I thought about that
at
the same time.
I love
That's
it.
Right.
Two
That's
minds
right.
thinking alike right there.
There you go. So your last will and testament. So, you know, as and we don't say when you die. We say when your will matures. That's mm-hmm. your... the term of art, I guess, or the politically correct thing to say.
Okay.
When your will matures, these things are going to happen, and this person will be in charge. So you have to have a last will and testament. And in your last will and testament, you need to name in the state of Florida what is known as a personal representative. Your personal representative is the person or entity. It can be a trust company, a law firm. They will be charged with the responsibility of settling your estate. And this is probably the most important, I'm not going to say the most important thing that the will accomplishes, but it is because of, you know, the disposition of your assets is what the will accomplishes.
Right.
But can you imagine, you know, checking out of this life and somebody not being in charge of taking care of everything,
well,
your last wishes?
Right. I imagine so, it just starts yeah. chaos.
Yes, it is the beginning of chaos. And if you die without a last will and testament, of course, somebody will be settling your estate and family members may step forward, but... Mm-hmm. The probate court in the county that you resided in will eventually appoint somebody to settle your estate, and it may not be the person you want, right?
Right.
Because you may have a lot of people stepping up saying, "I can do it." Now, most likely, if you're married, you're going to name your surviving spouse to settle your estate.
Likely, yes.
Yes, most likely. But you know, upon the demise of the surviving spouse, you need to have somebody named. So usually when you have a last will and testament drafted, you name not only your primary personal representative, but somebody in succession, somebody that can act if that person predeceases you or declines to act as your personal representative. They may, you know, you may name somebody. They could be overseas serving in the military, and that's just probably not a good fit to settle your estate. So it's very important to leave somebody in charge with this profound responsibility of settling your estate. The other thing about a last will and testament, it needs to reflect where you are currently residing or where you are domiciled. We have so many transplants to the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say close to half the time we meet with somebody and they have a will that was drafted, you know, several to many years ago, it holds them out as being domiciled in a city and county in another state.
Oh.
So the first line in your last will and testament, you know, for your will, Jenna would say, "I, Jenna Barr, being of sound mind, declare this to be my last will and testament. I currently reside and am domiciled in, if it's Pensacola, comma, Escambia County, comma, Florida." And in that very important document, you've held yourself out as domiciled wherever you said, actually, in the second sentence of your last will and testament. So if you move here and you have an old will and you've moved here from, I don't care, Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, Ohio, and your will was drafted there, you need a new will that holds you out as domiciled here in the state of Florida. So that's very important.
So do you update it, or do you go to a lawyer, or is that something y'all help with?
What a great question. There is always, typically, a simple will, believe it or not, is only a couple pages long. Let's say perhaps no more than 8 or 10 pages. If there is a trust inside the will, if there is a testamentary trust that is funded, it's going to be much longer. Where I'm going with this is, you can change the terms of a will with what is known as a codicil, C-O-D-I-C-I-L, a codicil to a will. But I just don't see those as often, and usually what is going to happen, just to make sure that everything has been updated and looked at accordingly, the attorney is going to draft a new last will and testament. Mm-hmm. And on that note, Jenna, if you die, and this is kind of a trick question, if you die and your loved ones, your beneficiaries, your spouse locates 3 different wills, which will is the only one that matters?
Oh, the most recent one or the one in the state that you
live in? The last will and testament. That's
right. So it has to be dated closest to your date of death.
That is correct. So all wills, all wills, really will supersede, revoke any prior wills that have been drafted and executed. So very, very important. Okay, so we're going to come back to wills, okay? We're going to talk about how wills can be contested, that wills are a public document, and that wills are the actual documents that are probated by the probate court. But we're going to come back to that more when we talk about trusts. But right now, I would like to jump to something that is critical for that time in your life between now and when we die, or when our will matures, right, Jenna? And when we're not able to take care of things for ourselves, we're not able to get it done like we used to, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just physically, I'm not feeling well, but I'm talking about, memory issues, dementia, or just,
right.
or just possibly being so elderly that, you're just, it renders you incapacitated. And if that is something that is creeping up on you, and if that is something that takes hold of you, then what is essential, the essential legal document for that taking place, is what is known as a power of attorney, okay?
Yes.
And more specifically, a durable power of attorney. A durable power of attorney will address any incapacity issues, and incapacity can be physical, it can be mental, and sometimes, we talk about emotional incapacity, but that's pretty much, they fall into 2 categories, physical and mental incapacity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not able to act on your own behalf, if you're not able to take care of your finances, pay your bills, I used to say balance your checkbook. I don't know many people that do that anymore. if you're not able to take care of your everyday finances, and some of them aren't everyday. Some of them are annual, your property taxes, your insurance, possibly paying insurance premiums, life insurance premiums. If you're no longer able to do that, you need to have somebody serve as your attorney in fact, and that's where a durable power of attorney comes in.
So is that
very important document?
So is that something everybody should have, no matter what their age, or what age do you start preparing for that?
I think everybody should have a power of attorney, everybody, because there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees that we are just going to live this life and then slip off in the middle of the night with our physical and mental capacity intact, right? There are no guarantees. And sometimes these conditions, dementia, they can last decades, right?
Yeah.
Physically you're fine, but you know there are memory issues, or I think I paid that, or mm-hmm. just things, you hear about them,
Oh, absolutely. We had a family member that did that, and they started to just forget things, and then the physical side started to come in, and I mean, it's heartbreaking, and then you're all scrambling because nothing was put in place beforehand. Who's going to take care of it? Oh no, I don't,
right.
I can't do it. I can't do this. And then you're like, okay, well, somebody's got to step in and step up and do it. And, having that in place helps already prepare the family during those times that are already so difficult.
Right. And I'm no physician. So when it comes to, memory issues, dementia, Alzheimer's, just, all of these different conditions, that I feel like, when we talk about them, Jenna, that it's usually we talk about, our elderly population. And you said you had a family member. I had a family member in Ohio. And I would start hearing the stories about, it was really amazing. Now he could drive. This is my great uncle. He could drive, and he was fine, and, he could read the signs and everything, but he would forget how to get home, But he was one of these people that, wanted to keep, and it's really difficult to take away the independence and some of the freedoms, that are, so closely guarded and embraced by our loved ones, like getting in the car and being able to go somewhere, right? Just to go to the post office, the bank, the grocery store. But we called him Uncle Clem. My Uncle Clem, he would get in the car and they would find him a couple towns over, and he said he just got lost and he didn't know how to get home. So it affects people in different ways. It really does. But that's where we're storytelling now, but that really kind of helps people understand. And I think we've all been touched by, at some point in our time, Alzheimer's or dementia or incapacity issues. And we haven't even touched on really physical incapacity, folks that are no longer able to get around or get out of bed even.
And for another thing, I mean, I know we're talking about the elderly population, and, I remember when my grandmother was starting, she had a rare disease called MSA, and so she slowly ended up in a wheelchair and on a feeding tube and on a breathing, all these different things.
Yeah.
And so, yes, those things happen, and you have this in place, but also, I have friends who are battling breast cancer and can't get to the normal things that they usually need to, and they work and they have income and they have stuff in place. And I even have friends who are single parents and they have stuff going on, or if there's so many different things, so it's not really just for elderly people as well to
you
have
are
that
so in. You are so right, you are so right. And I've had that. I don't consider myself elderly, but I have, I have talked to enough people lately, and people that that have been in my life for a long time, and I kind of see them forgetting things, but anyway, so a power of attorney, specifically a durable power of attorney, very, very important. Somebody to act on your behalf when you're no longer able or even temporarily unable to act on your behalf.
Sure.
It comes in other instances when, let's say somebody is out of the country, okay? There are different types of powers of attorney, and certainly during our show today, we don't have time to go into all of them, but there's a special power of attorney. There is a limited power of attorney. A limited power of attorney addresses, you know, certain types of things that the that your attorney, in fact, can act under. Special power of attorney, which I mentioned, I had to have somebody do a closing when I was out of town, and so I had a power of attorney drafted for my, I guess my daughter was 21, 22 at the time, but of course it's not a general power of attorney or durable power of attorney where she can act on my behalf in almost any situation, but for this real estate closing, while I was out of town, this is back in the day before DocuSign, that she was able to act on my behalf for this one instance. And then, let's see, so I think we've really kind of covered the different powers of attorney,
right,
where it deals with finances and being able to take, you know, take care of those things.
Paying
bills.
I just totally thought of another one. I thought of this one.
Go ahead.
I mean, recently my mom had surgery, and she's healthy. She was 61 when she went in for surgery, super healthy. Mm-hmm. But beforehand, we had everything in place, and I became her power of attorney. And that was it. She was just, let's get all the ducks in a row just in case, like, you know. But those are other things too. If you're preparing to go in for a surgery or whatever it is, like having that already situated for your family member and for yourself, it gives you peace of mind.
Absolutely. These are the documents that help you sleep well at night. Unfortunately, most people get them done in their 60s, right? We know that.
Right.
We pretty much covered the powers of attorney dealing with finances, but it also deals with investments. These powers are fairly sweeping. You can borrow money on behalf of who you are serving as attorney in fact for. You can sell their house, you know. So you don't want, it's a responsibility that you don't want to take lightly or surrender or give to someone without careful consideration.
Yeah.
And it's typically, if you're married, your spouse, right?
Right.
And what we're going to do after our break, I believe, is come back to what is known as the medical power of attorney or appointment of healthcare surrogate. But, you know, just over the next 30 seconds or so, I want to talk about who to name. I always like using this example. I have a daughter that's a nurse. I have a daughter that works, that is an accountant and works for Fidelity Investments in Denver. One is very suitable for the durable power of attorney to take care of finances, investments, paying bills, things like that. The other one, my daughter that's a nurse, is a very good candidate for medical power of attorney, having to make medical decisions on my behalf if I'm not able. And this is, that is the second broad power of attorney type, is the medical power of attorney. And we are going to talk a little bit more about that.
That is so interesting. And it's so cool that you have, a daughter from each side. So pretty much, parents, if you're listening, raise your children up. One can be a financial expert. The other one can be in the medical industry so they can take care of you when you get old.
Yeah. Well, I actually have two daughters that are nurses, okay? But one lives a little closer. One is a travel nurse, and the other one is not. You know, one is, I want to say a little more grounded, okay? she's married, has kids. And I don't know, you know, I know they're, you know, they understand this. But, in that space of, you know, the medical backgrounds, you know, you've got to whittle it down a little more.
Sure.
But they're certainly named in succession and can act if the other one can't. you know?
Absolutely.
But anyway.
No, that is too
this
cool.
This is fun, isn't it?
Yes. And I mean, I love stories alongside of things because it helps me grasp things. It's just how my brain works. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate
yes.
to that too. So I appreciate that. We
yes.
have more coming up after the news break. Let's check in with Mark Jacobs in the newsroom.
Good morning. UWF has announced its spring commencement plans. We'll have the details coming up after Fox News. At News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 73, mostly cloudy. Good morning, I'm Mark Jacobs. University of West Florida announces its plans for spring 2021 commencement. Graduation ceremonies will take place in person on Saturday, May the 8th at Blue Wahoo Stadium. Specific ceremony times to be announced later. The university inviting all 2020 graduates to attend the 2021 commencement as well. All attendees, including graduates, being required to follow the established health and safety protocols. The stadium restricted to half capacity for each ceremony to enable social distancing, also limiting the number of guests to 4 per graduate. An F-22 Raptor assigned to the 325th Fighter Wing experienced an apparent nose gear failure upon landing at Eglin Air Force Base Monday afternoon, part of what the base calls an in-flight emergency. The pilot taken to the base flight medical facility. No word on what, if any, injuries were involved. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We will be seeing mostly cloudy skies and a 30% chance of that rain today. That high near 79 degrees. We are monitoring a chance of severe weather on Wednesday. Just make sure you are staying weather alert throughout the day and those overnight hours on Wednesday night. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
73 in Pensacola and Milton, 72 in Gulf Breeze at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with your Money Now. Stocks are mixed. The Dow Industrial's down 112 at 32,840. The NASDAQ is up a sharp 145. The S&P 500 ahead 7. Tiger Woods has signed an exclusive multi-year deal with Take-Two Interactive Software to feature his name and likeness in future golf video games. Woods previously was a face of Electronic Arts. Sales at retailers fell 3% in February due to a lapse in government aid, and as a bout of unusually bad weather hit most of the country, but business is expected to pick up again soon after Washington sent $1,400 stimulus checks to most people. Sales soared a revised 7.6% in January after the government sent out $600 stimulus checks. Telecom group Nokia of Finland plans to cut up to 10,000 jobs within the next 2 years to trim costs and invest more in research capabilities. Crude oil sharply lower, down 95 cents at $67.93 a barrel. That's your Money Now.
Business owners, when I say digital marketing, what comes to mind? Are you instantly overwhelmed? Don't be. Hey, I'm Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director for ADX Digital, and I totally get the overwhelm, but I'm here to help. It's easy to get overwhelmed as a business owner. You're constantly pulled in every direction. When it comes to marketing, you need somebody you can trust, a partner, one that's here locally, that knows your business, knows your market, and knows how to create successful marketing campaigns that drive traffic and produce results. Your marketing partnership begins here. Make today the last day you feel overwhelmed. ADX Digital is proud to be a sister company to your local favorite radio stations, including Cat Country, News Radio, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. At ADX Digital, we'll work with you and your team to create a customized digital marketing partnership tailored exactly to your business to achieve your goals. Don't waste another day. Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bob, I'm waiting for you to start singing, okay?
Now, you know I'm listening
dancing.
To that. I'm listening. Oh, well, you see, all I can think of is Anna Lee when I hear that song.
Oh, I know. Every time.
We were watching TV the other night, and there was a show. You know what? We're watching on Amazon Prime right now. The series Billions, and okay. I think they were playing that song during one of the episodes, you know, not during the whole episode.
Well, that makes sense. But there was a show named Billions playing All
exactly.
I Do Is Win. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Perfect.
Wow. And you talk about some bad people. Wow.
Oh, really, on the show?
Anyway.
That's good to know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just, I don't know.
Now I have to look it up.
It's an interesting... you do. You do. You have to watch it. I do like the actors. I do like the actors in it. Paul Giamatti and...
What's
the other guy? British guy. He was in Homeland.
Oh.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, I can see his face, too. Yes, I know who it is, but
whenever you see him interviewed and he's talking in his British accent, it's just, you know, it's amazing, you know, what he does on the show because he's a, he's a hedge fund guy up in Connecticut and outside of New York City and kind of a guy, a guy that was kind of brought up on the streets of New York, and he's all American, that's for sure, not
that's
British.
Right there.
But I can't remember. Oh, I know, Damian Lewis.
Yes.
Lewis.
Okay, I was like, as soon as you started it, I got it in my brain.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay.
All right, we'll
nice.
Have to look at that.
Nice plug for Billions. There.
You're welcome. But
yeah, a friend
Billions.
Of mine. A friend of mine told me, you really need to watch it. You really need to watch it. And so I did. But, okay, so we were talking about, we've covered The Last Will and Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs one, right?
Yes.
And powers of attorney. There's a durable power. There are powers of attorney for your finances and your everyday things. And then a medical power of attorney, also called an appointment of healthcare surrogate. And that's someone to make medical decisions on your behalf. And as I mentioned, you know, and Anna Lee, whenever we're talking about these things, she talks about how squeamish she is and the sight of blood and or just somebody sharing with her how a procedure is going to go or what's going to happen, you know.
Right.
She
yeah.
can't stand it.
No,
she can't
I'm
stand
pretty
it.
Much
and
the same
and you know
way.
What?
Yeah.
I can't either.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about it. Just you know, let's move on to something else. Well, Jenna and Anna Lee, there's a whole different population out there that really is into that.
We need to be careful about them.
They're not squeamish. They're not squeamish, and they're the ones, you know, watching the TV shows about open heart surgery and things like that. I can't stand that, but there are people that do like that. And those are the people you want to consider for, appointment of healthcare surrogate, medical power of attorney, because, you know, they're going to have to, if it's something major, they're going to have to listen to what's going on and hopefully understand it, right, and make a good decision on your behalf.
Oh, absolutely.
I should share this. The interesting thing about powers of attorney and the duties and responsibilities of your personal representative under your last will and testament, and of course a personal representative is also your executor. As a matter of fact, that's what most states refer to the person settling your estate as your executor. But here's a question. I know you hate this, Jenna, but when do the duties and responsibilities of your personal representative begin?
Oh, is this in case you have like a medical emergency?
No.
Or just in
general? Personal representatives, it operates under your last will and testament.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so I know you don't want to say it, but
so is it
when
you die,
it begins at death.
Or okay,
death.
What
yes.
about like life okay. support or so something that, like that?
That what a nice segue. We are going to get into a living will. That is our next
okay.
essential
Sorry,
estate
I'm just
planning
jumping
document.
The gun.
It's almost like I wrote you a note or something, I didn't.
But you didn't. You really didn't. My brain is just.
I did
extra.
Not. Yes, you're dialed in. Okay, so. And the whole point I'm trying to make, and I apologize for putting you on the spot, but the duties and responsibilities of your power of attorney and your personal representative do not overlap, okay? The duties and responsibility of your attorney, in fact, under your power of attorney, are during your lifetime. Mm. Your personal representative or your executor does not begin until your will has matured, as we say. But, okay, you mentioned who makes decisions about life support and medical treatments and life-prolonging medical devices, mm-hmm. Like a respirator, the types of dosages and that will be used to keep you alive, also things like pain management. And possibly organ donation, okay? How are those addressed? Well, there's a document. It's called a living will, okay? And a lot of times people will confuse a living will and a last will and testament because they have the word will and they've got an L in there, right?
Right.
So they're two entirely different documents. But a living will addresses... if you are in a condition that you may possibly never come out of, okay, if your life is dependent on a respirator, some other medical device, some sort of anything that is life prolonging, and let's say just a general word, you're in a coma, okay, mm-hmm. you're unconscious. Then your living will is a very important document to have. Now, I would say, out of the couple of documents that we're talking about, do you absolutely have to have this? You may not. You really may not. You may not need a power of attorney. You'll definitely need a will. But if you are on something that is, prolonging your life, and that's usually a good thing, right?
Right.
But you're in a state or a condition that you're not coming out of. A living will is important. Now, the interesting thing about a living will is, Jenna, you're not going to name your husband to make that decision. I'm not going to name, a wife or a child of mine or anyone. That decision is housed typically with your primary care physician, and possibly one other attending physician, just that they have to agree that you're not coming out of this, and I hate saying this word, but, a lot of people throw it around, a vegetative state, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
And, we're not plant life, right?
Sure.
But I know that there are instances where these documents are critical, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I am, I'm saying of the last will and testament, durable power of attorney, appointment of healthcare surrogate or medical power of attorney, and the living will that we're talking about right now, the living will is the one that you are probably least likely to need. But okay. when you go to your estate planning attorney, they're going to draft one. And they may even throw it in there and just say, no charge for this one, but if you need it, it's golden.
Right. have it in your arsenal. Yeah, just have it there just in case. Better safe than sorry type of situation. Okay.
But there are great reasons that I won't go into with housing or placing this decision with someone that is not a family member or someone that you've named that you may have fallen out of good graces with,
right?
Or stands to gain monetarily. So, you know, the policy decisions. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why your physician, your primary care physician is typically, the person that will make that decision of whether with your living will, you have made this decision to allow yourself to expire, okay? And again, your primary care physician, and all of these documents we're talking about, they're known generally as advance directives, okay?
Yeah.
You're directing people in advance how to act if something comes up,
sure.
if one of these situations comes up, and I defy anyone to say that is never going to happen, or much less someone saying, I've never heard of that happening. It happens all the time,
right,
okay?
Right.
We're just not living in a hospital, you know?
Yeah.
We're living out here in, you know, the suburbs going out to eat, going to the grocery store. A lot of us aren't even doing that now, but
we never thought a pandemic would happen. I mean, look at the world that we just watched, you know, open up into, okay, what do we do next in a learning season pretty much on how to deal with things and, you know, having loved ones that pass away and you can't be there. And how do you go about planning all that now? And I have a question, and maybe this is a different subject. What is the difference between like a living will, a last will and testament, and a trust? What is the difference between the trust and all of that?
Okay. So the trust is another document that you may or may not need there, and that is almost an entirely different show or segment to cover. But a lot of times, a trust is a very important estate planning document, and it can be used for so many different things. But a trust is an entity created by the grantor of the trust, okay, and it can actually manage the assets from the grave of the grantor, okay. If a grantor dies and wants the assets to be held for the benefit of his surviving spouse for the rest of, I'm going to say her lifetime. It's usually the way it works,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to the kids. If perhaps there is a beneficiary, a child that has special needs or has special circumstances, such as, addictions or, it can be as simple as, you know, look, you know, my son doesn't know how to handle money. I'm not leaving it to him, you know, upon the demise of my spouse and me. So you leave it in trust for their benefit. Their trusts used to be used a lot to address federal estate tax consequences and federal estate tax liability in someone's estate. And that's a whole, like I said, trusts are a whole different conversation. It usually has to do with blended families, and what I mean by that, a second marriage with children from a prior marriage or first marriage, and if you remarry, of course, you want to take care of your spouse, but upon your demise and I'm going to say her demise because that's usually the order.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to make sure those assets are held for the benefit of your children or are ultimately distributed to your children. Trusts are also terrific for privacy. A trust is a very private document. Your last will and testament, when it's probated, it becomes a public document. I would also say that a trust provides another layer of insulation in terms of making sure your wishes are placed in motion. And a will can be contested. It can be contested by anyone. Okay. Now, I'm not saying they're going to succeed in contesting it,
Sure. But
it can be contested. A trust, in my opinion, is, I'm not going to say ironclad, but closer to that description than a will will ever be.
All right.
And then a living will, of course. We talked about that. That's just, that has to do with, you know, folks that are, you know, have a serious medical condition, whether it was through an accident or otherwise, and they're in a vegetative state and they're not coming out of it, and that's when their primary care physician steps in and, you know, makes that decision to let them expire or to not.
Sure. Okay, and going back to that, mm-hmm. We have a question. Up to how many people can you have as power of attorneys? What do you recommend?
That's a great question, and you know, shame on me for not covering that. That's one of the things that I try to mention. When you name somebody as your power of attorney, whether it's your durable power of attorney, your medical power of attorney, name one person. Just name one.
Okay.
You don't want to name two. I would say you could have three, you know, because then you have a tiebreaker. But the last thing you want is a stalemate. And naming people concurrently, to me, is a bad idea, and I would avoid at all costs. So name someone that you trust and that is equipped to make a decision in that area, be it medical power of attorney or durable power of attorney. So, name one. However, name a second person and a third person in succession. You really don't want to name your spouse and stop at that, right? Your spouse is typically close in age, and, your spouse may predecease you, especially, a wife that has a longer life expectancy and is younger, there's a very low probability, if you go on to live a long life, both of you, that your husband's going to survive you. So maybe name some kids after that. But, you know, I would say don't name one. Name two, three, four, but name them in succession, not concurrently.
Okay.
But
all right,
what
that
a great
sense.
Question.
Okay,
and
excellent.
We appreciate that
yes.
question. The same goes for naming your personal representative in your last will and testament. Most people name their spouses after that. You know, maybe you want to name somebody that has hopefully some experience in that. And I'm seeing a lot where parents don't want to burden their children in settling their estate. I see a lot of siblings named, you know. So,
right.
So, say, Jenna, your dad names his brother, you know. But you usually want to... the surviving spouse to be able to pass on that if they want, and they may. But a lot of times kids, I have five children. None of them live in Florida. They're all over the place. And I just can't imagine one of them stopping what they're doing. They've got their own careers. They're doing their own thing. They've got their own lives, for goodness sake.
Right.
And I can't imagine them stopping what they're doing, coming here to Pensacola and taking care of my estate. A lot of times children aren't named, and it all depends. It all depends.
Okay.
Choose
somebody who's closest to you, you know, especially if you have like a
yes.
community here, not necessarily somebody who would be further that would have to travel to come in and take care of things. Although, I mean,
right.
when my dad passed away,
I
did that. You know, we all traveled to take care and wrap things up and make sure that, you know, we were helping out our mom as much as possible too. So we made it work, but you know, it's also helps when you have somebody close. And we have a caller on the line. Sue, you are on the phone with Bob Burgee. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your question?
What is your name again?
Sue.
I'm so sorry. What is your name again?
Sue.
S-U-E. Oh, Sue.
S-U-E. Yeah. My question is, you've been talking about, now I can't even remember the question.
Hey, maybe you need to go. Who's your power of attorney?
Bob.
I've got that one covered. I just can't remember who they are. No, seriously.
We were talking about powers of attorney and last will and testaments.
Yes. What is the difference? You talked about your executor and...
Yes,
talk about your personal representative. What's the difference?
Yes, ma'am. No difference. The only difference is what they're called. And in Florida, you're a personal representative, okay? In Alabama, you're an executor. The duties and responsibility are exactly the same. It's settling the estate of the deceased. And, it's a great question. Why isn't that uniform? I really don't know. And I've even seen in some states where, you know, they'll use the word executor, and it's male, female, neutral. But some states will actually call a female executor the executrix. So, the last thing I want to do is complicate things, but personal representative, executor, executrix, they're exactly the same. And their duties and responsibilities begin upon the death of the person they're named in the will of. So,
awesome.
Okay.
But,
thank you.
Sue, do you have a will?
Pardon me?
Sue, do you have a will?
Yes, I do.
Good.
I've got it all.
Good.
She is prepared.
All right, and you remember who was named, right?
Yes, I do. At the moment, I couldn't, but yes, I do.
I got you. You get older, you lose
your mind.
No, you're doing great.
I know. It's slowly. It's slowly. I've heard it's a lot of fun.
No.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you so much for
Thank you, Sue, so much.
You're welcome, Sue. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And listen, we have one more question coming in that I want to hit real quick before we wrap up. We have about a minute. This question comes from a listener about a second marriage and children on both parties. If I predecease my husband and my children, do they inherit the house, or will her other husband automatically get it, like in that situation? So she's married a second time.
And that all depends. First of all, if the house is titled jointly, it goes to the survivor, okay? If the house is in her name and her name only, she can, you know, there are a number of things to do. And gosh, when you told me we had 60 seconds, this is more than a 60-second.
I'm so sorry.
Or even, no, that's okay. But listener, please give us a call at 850-437-3127. And of course, Jenna and I are doing the show remotely, and I suspect we've got about 30 seconds, but it all depends on how it is titled. But you do not assume anything. Do not assume anything unless you know that it's titled jointly and it goes to the survivor. Have a great week, and we will talk with you next Tuesday. Thank you so much, Jenna Barr.
What a wonderful